by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And in the next verse, he then asks the apostles, his disciples, and asks us, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? And so these parables are parables about the kingdom of God and the way the kingdom of God interacts with this world, the way the Lord Jesus comes and declares himself, and the way the word of God reaches in to this world and does a mighty work. And so in the parable of the soil, we have the impact of the gospel revealing and exposing the hearts of men. And then there's a warning passage about those who have ears to hear, that they should hear, they should be careful how they hear, who they hear, and also just the fact that only God will give the hearing ears. But now the Lord Jesus explains what happens as God works individually, as he works by grace in chosen sinners that he calls to himself. And so the Lord just uses this beautifully simple picture that was so common for these people, of just the growth of a grain growing into a strong and fruitful plant. And I think there are four specific lessons about the believer's growth in grace. The first one is that as the growth of the wheat requires someone to sow the seed, in God's work of grace, in his kingdom, there must be a sower to sow the precious seed of the gospel. And in growing the wheat and in the work of grace, there is much that is beyond man's comprehension and control. And thirdly, in both the cultivation and the work of the wheat and in the work of grace, life is made manifest by degrees, by stages. And finally, I think the Lord Jesus is teaching us that in both the cultivation of the wheat and in the kingdom of God, there is both a seed time and a time for harvest. That was a beautiful hymn we just sang, and I just wonder how some of us picture spiritual growth. So often we hear of books and we read of programs that show people how they can grow spiritually, paths to holiness, paths to greater devotion to God. But as we saw last week, the way God grows his people is to grow them down before he grows them up. And I just like to read a hymn of John Newton's, and I just wonder if his experience is like our experience. Like the experience of Paul, who died considering himself the chief of sinners and as a mature apostle saw himself as a wretched man. This is how John Newton described Christian life. I wonder if it's your experience as well. I asked the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favoured hour at once he'd answered my request. But by his love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more with his own hand he seemed intent to aggravate my woe. Crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds and laid me low. Lord, why is this, I trembling cried, wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayest seek thine all in me. And so in this parable, the Lord Jesus is talking about the activities of the seed in the good soil. And as we saw in the previous weeks, the good soil, the soil of this earth, the soil of man's natural heart, according to God, is going to produce thorns and thistles. That's the promise in Genesis. There's a promise in Genesis 9 that seed time and harvest would continue to the end. But the promise of seed time and harvest, according to Genesis 3, is that by painful toil you will eat of the ground. The ground will not give forth fruit for man without hard labour. And so in the scriptures, the hardness of men's heart is pictured in these parables as soil. In other places, it's a rock, a stone, and the soil needs to be cultivated deep. All that is growing there has to be destroyed and broken down and left to the ravages of wind and time and rain to make the soil good. Soil is not good for growing wheat and other crops all by itself. It needs work done to it. And he was saying, says the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Now God's children are born because God sends gospel preachers to cast seed upon the soil. They just cast the gospel indiscriminately, it seems. They cast it having prayed deeply about it, being passionate about proclaiming the truth of the gospel, but also knowing that this scattered seed is going to produce a crop that God has designed for it to produce. In 1 Peter, this scattering of the seed is talked about in terms of people being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which lives and abides forever. And then to go back to the soil of man's natural heart, for all flesh is grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. So gospel preachers scatter the seed, and it's the living and active word of God. It contains its own life within it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and this word of God brings forth fruit, not because of human wisdom, because 1 Corinthians 1:21 says it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The gospel preachers preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, knowing that there is a promise associated with that. We know, we have a promise from God that that powerful word of the crucified Saviour is going to bring forth life. Isaiah puts it so beautifully in 61:11, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts and as a garden causes things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. But then the gospel preacher does something which might seem unusual. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day. He just continues on in his normal activities. But as he's sleeping and getting up, the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself doesn't know. So in the growth of God's crop, there must be a sower. In the growth of God's crop and in the work of grace, there is much that is beyond man's comprehension and control. Our gospel preachers are not able to see the germination of the seed deep within the soil. He gets up and goes to bed, continuing his normal life. And maybe this is a reference to the confidence of faith, that having proclaimed God's word, having raised up the Lord Jesus, then God's people will, in God's time, be drawn to him. So the seed sprouts and grows. But when the good seed meets the right conditions in the soil, it swells and grows. And it first produces a root, which goes down quickly into the soil, which provides the moisture and nutrients to feed the shoot, which eventually pushes its way up through the soil. The root from God's seed in believers' lives does a deep work, unseen by the world, not clearly seen by the believer, and often especially those around him. Jesus doesn't say to his apostles that they will have a clear knowledge of what is happening. And the growth is not according to human wisdom. The gospel preacher is not necessarily conscious of what's happening in the soil, because God's preachers and God's people live their lives not on the basis of what they see, but on the basis of what God has promised. If the living word of the gospel is proclaimed, then God has promised that it will bear fruit. We live by faith and not by sight. The Lord Jesus does not, nor ever will, send his servants out with a method of evangelism which can be understood by men for their salvation or not. Faith comes supernaturally by hearing the gospel, and only those who are given God's ears to hear will respond. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. A true saving faith always and only always comes by revelation from God. Faith that is based on human wisdom will someday to be seen to be have been built on a foundation of sand. Nicodemus was an intelligent, knowledgeable man who didn't have a clue about spiritual life. You must be born again. So grace in the heart of man is an exotic plant. It's altogether a new thing. It comes down from heaven. Left to himself, no man would ever see or know or need anything of the Lord Jesus. And they wouldn't seek after him. God promises that they won't. So grace and righteousness and spiritual life and inward godliness is a work of God alone. The true gospel is the power of God unto salvation. From faith, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus, to faith, the faith given by grace to the elect. Salvation is of the Lord. He will save his people from their sins. So gospel preachers don't have to know what's happening. They know the promises of God. God, in his great mercy, delights to bring us confirmation again and again of his faithfulness to his promises. But we just wait for him to do what he's promised to do. And the soil in Mark 28, the good soil produces crops by itself. By itself. That's the word that we get automatic from. The one thing that you can be sure to do if you're growing young seedlings and looking after seeds is if you fiddle with them when they're growing, you'll kill them as quick as anything. You just leave them alone. The growth that the Lord Jesus is talking about here comes from the life that's in the seed. The seed seems dead. Nothing seems deader than a little seed, a little round hard ball. But inside it is life. And that's the life that produces when it meets with the soil. So Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase. And this increase comes by degrees. So the seed is sown. The work of grace in the lives of people is beyond man's comprehension and control. And in both the cultivation and in the work of grace, life is manifest gradually, by degrees. The leaf, the stalk, and the head don't look anything like the grain sown or harvested, but always everything needed for the grain is there. And it's been grown and nurtured as the plant grows. And the plant, to grow up, must grow down into this cultivated soil, to break up this soil, to have itself established by deep things and not by shallow things, like the soil on the rock, which looked so wonderful as the crop came up, sprang up vigorously and quickly. And then when the heat of persecution came, it just withered away. Plants survive because they have deep, deep roots that go down. And we need to be mindful, as the Lord Jesus is bringing this message to his apostles, who would be inclined to look at each other, as we are inclined to look at each other, and often cry out, "Why isn't that person growing the way I think they ought to be growing?" So often when we look at the flesh of people, all we will see is flesh. We need to look at our brothers and sisters through the eyes of faith. Has God planted a seed in someone's life? Then that growth is going to be according to God's purposes, and it won't ever be in accord with human wisdom and human ways of doing things. We trust God to do his work. This week I had a wonderful experience of seeing a prayer answer that I've been praying for 12 months. And it's just wonderful to see God working in the lives of people that we love and care for. That should be the greatest thrill that we have, isn't it? That we know the Lord Jesus and then we see him working in someone's life. And in this particular situation, it was just wonderful that just one simple little word from God was a seed that had been in the soil of this believer for so long, and God brought it to life. And all of a sudden, what was dead — so many of God's words sit in our lives and they are dead — suddenly this word sprang to life. And there was just new revelation of who the Lord Jesus is and what he is doing. And it's exciting. It should excite us to see. We're asked in Ephesians to pray, aren't we, expectantly, that God's going to do more than we can imagine or ask. Heavenly seed is sown. God's work is being done. And God's work is going to always be done in God's way and at God's time. And we're often in that situation, aren't we, where we agonise over what we see going on around us. And then we wait as the Lord shows us how helpless we are. And we wait. And then we see God doing things. Isn't that so much better than all the human activity that we are so used to getting other believers to do? If there are problems, we want to give them a program. We want to tell them to do this and do this and do this and do this. And so often, all of those doing things just cause people, rather than looking to the Lord Jesus who provides everything, to look into themselves. So God's seed has God's life, and it grows in God's way. And we can be confident that God has promised, if he's begun a good work, he'll carry that through until the day of the Lord Jesus. So the soil, left to itself, soon returns to its original state. You don't have to plant weeds. We are, in our Father Adam, just dust. From dust we came, and to dust we will return. But we have a treasure. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. So the whole work of grace in the heart of believers, as well as is a work of grace that's performed outside us and in us, and it's God's work. Repentance is a gift from God. Faith is the gift and operation of the grace of God. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is the result of God's work in us. Peace is the product of grace. Sanctification is God's work in us, not our work for God. And all these things come from the Spirit and the power and the grace of God. Men are regenerated according to the abundant mercy of God and watered by the Spirit, by the word of truth, and all this through the sovereign will and pleasure of God. They were dead, like the dead bones in Ezekiel 37. Just dead. And then a word comes, a word of promise from God, and life comes. And it's all the Lord's work. So faith in the Lord Jesus is not from ourselves. It's the gift of God. All of these things are the gift of God. Sanctification, which is in a sense what this passage is talking about, is called the sanctification of the Spirit. It is through him the deeds of the body are mortified. Indeed, without Christ, believers, according to the Lord Jesus, can do nothing, even cannot perform good works or do any action which is truly and spiritually good. As John Gill says, the design is to show that as the earth, without human power, without the farmer, under the influence of the heaven, brings forth fruit, so without human power, without the gospel minister, the word having taken root under the divine influence, through the Son of Righteousness, the dews of divine grace and the operations of the blessed Spirit, it rises up and produces fruit. But God's work, as this parable says, is a gradual work. And it happens in various individuals at God's time in their lives. And so the roots have to go down, the shoot has to come up, the stalk has to be developed, the leaves have to come out, the head has to be produced before the grain is filled. And it's one of the reasons why churches where God is really active are sometimes places where there's discomfort, because God is working in the lives of people, and where God is breaking up the hard ground of human hearts and is growing his people together and growing them at different rates, there's tension and there can be difficulties. But where God is at work, God is going to do wonderful things. There is a growth that he promises, which is from God. And so none of God's children are born full grown. None of them are born with mature and perfect faith, hope, knowledge and love. And it takes some of us a while to realise that there is a process of growth. So our beginning is a day of small things. We see in part, we know in part. But as John Newton's hymn said, we see some of our sinfulness, but the Lord has an infinite depth of it to reveal in us. We see Christ's fullness, but we see some of it, but only in a small measure. There's an infiniteness in the fullness of the Lord Jesus. We know, according to God, that his grace is sufficient for us, but we have no idea of how sufficient it will prove to be. So we see and we experience his faithfulness, and then he takes us to his word and see that he is just being wonderfully faithful to his promises again and again. So wherever there is true faith, just like a mustard seed, there is life. And it might be weak, it might be infirm, it may not look as if look the way we would want it to look, but if it's God's life, it's real life. If the seed of grace has come up in the heart, it might be a tender plant. It might be a tiny blade shooting out of the ground. The Lord Jesus talked about people being bruised reeds. God's children are bruised children. They are wounded by their own sin. They are wounded by the world and the devil and the enemies that are around and the enemies that are within. And bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus is the comfort that we bring to each other. That it's not about us. It's all about Him. And so, when the crop permits, according to verse 4:29, He immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And so, the Lord Jesus looked around when the Samaritan woman came to saving faith, as He gathered this chosen object, this trophy of His grace. And He said to the apostles, look around, the fields are white unto harvest. There is a great harvest coming, but it will come at the time of the Lord Jesus' choosing. Just at the right time, God will gather each grain to Himself. And then there will be a great harvest at the end, when all things are gathered together. There is a great harvest coming. The Lord Jesus' victory is a huge victory. But what's harvested? The roots aren't harvested, but without the roots there would be no grain. The stalk isn't harvested, but without the stalk there would be no grain. The leaves aren't harvested. The head is harvested, but it's harvested to get something out of it, the grain. And this is the wonder of this parable about spiritual growth, isn't it? That what comes out at the other end, after this painful process, what comes out at the other end? Remarkably and wonderfully, this is the gospel again, isn't it? What comes out at the other end is what was sown there in the first place. What comes out, what the harvest is people who have been made by God's grace to be like the Lord Jesus. 1 John 4:17 says, as He is, so are we in this world. And that's where love, according to God, is made perfect. And that we have boldness, we have confidence in the day of judgment. We look forward to the day of judgment.